But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory. Hello and welcome back. Okay, so today we are going to start talking about the prophets. Believe me, this was so, there was so much information here that I had to try not to get lost in the weeds. So what I'm going to do today is give you an overview of the prophets. I decided, let's start with that. Let's start with an overview of the prophets. What I'm planning on doing through this whole series is giving you the overview. Then I want to talk about what to do if you believe you have the gift of prophecy and how to go about using that. I want to make that one of the series. I want to also talk about what not to do. And I also want to talk about like how you receive prophecy. And I also want to talk about false prophecy. All of it. There is just so much in this umbrella of prophecy and prophets that I was like, the only way for me to actually do it any kind of justice is to break it up into different parts and just do a piece each week until we get to the end of it. Okay, so that's kind of what I've formulated so far. But I wanted to start off by giving you an overview on the prophets before we jump into all the other things. Okay, so let me pray so we can get going here. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I thank you, Elohim, for working in us, for creating us, and for bringing the Trinity to us and showing yourself through the gift of prophecy and in the prophets that have gone before us and even those who are still here today and walking in this. I thank you for blessing us with this gift and with the role and with what the prophets do in the body of Christ today. I just thank you for it. Thank you for the blessing they are to the body of Christ, Lord. I ask that in this teaching you will clearly outline to us the things that you want us to look at, to focus on, to understand. And I ask that you would just cover us in your wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Give us keen discernment in this hour, Lord God. And help us to understand as we go that we're able to look at all those who would be prophesying and see where they fit. And help us to individually understand our roles in the body of Christ. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what I wanted to say is, as I was going through, you know, we did Ezekiel already as the watchman. And as I was going through and I was reading Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was the one that I wanted to bring as the prophet, not the watchman. But that's not what happened. No. What I saw as I was reading it is that Jeremiah is a watchman too. That's what I saw. And so then I had to sit with the Lord for a little bit. I was like, okay, I'm not understanding here. What is going on? Because I thought these were two different things. And so what the Lord showed me was that the umbrella of prophet has different types of prophets under the umbrella of prophet. Okay, so a watchman is a type of a prophet. It's going to look very different from the other types of prophets. Okay, but it is a type of prophet. And so what happened is, because of the role of the watchman, it tends to look differently because they're not necessarily the one that is that vocal as the other types of prophets. That's what I got from this. So I just wanted to bring some clarity there. And perhaps in the beginning when I started talking about this, I misspoke. Okay, because it is a type of a prophet, the watchman, is just different from the others. So that's what I'm going to go through today, just to bring some clarity there. And perhaps with this, you will be able to clearly see if you have the gift of prophecy, like which one of these you fit into, if you believe you're being called into being a prophet, not just having the gift of prophecy, okay? So that's what I want to do, is to give you an overview and help you to see what each one did, and then see if you can identify yourself in this, okay? All right, so first thing is, this is an overview. So in the Bible, there are actually 88 prophets. I found this on Google. Okay, because the truth is there are many. There are more prophets than we think. And that's one of the things I wanted to point out to you. So for us, primarily, when we think about prophets, we're generally thinking about the major prophets and the minor prophets, okay? We're thinking about the prophets that first, the ones who wrote. Because understand that there are different types of ways in which a prophet delivers information, okay? I don't have any videos on YouTube with prophecy, because the Lord has not instructed me to do that. I am a writing prophet. That's what I do. It's on a website, and you have to read it, because that was the forum that He gave me to share a message. Then you'll have another person that'll be on YouTube. That's the forum that they're sharing in. Then you'll have other people that'll do podcasts, and that is their forum. So what I'm saying is, we don't all have to look the same, okay? Because, God is just going to give the message differently through each one. And there is a specific way in which He has called them to do that job. I want you to know that. So if we look at the major prophets in the Bible, these are the ones that have the books, okay? So you have Isaiah, you have Jeremiah, you have Ezekiel, and Daniel. And there's some debate on Daniel, whether he's a minor or a major prophet, okay? And then you have the minor prophets, and these would be Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, okay? Those are the minor prophets. Not minor because they're on a lesser level, but more like the volume of the book, okay? And what was their role in the Bible, in what they brought forth in their information? Some of them had very specific things that they did and nothing else, i.e. Jonah. He had one job. That was it, okay? So I want you to look at it like that. Not that one is less than the other, but it's more like the length and the volume of the book, okay? So these prophets, their role was to write the word. Write the word. Then you have other prophets. That's not what they were called to, because Elijah, as all of you know, or Elisha, they didn't really write books just on their stuff, right? They went out there. They were actively in the community, working in a different manner through signs and wonders and miracles, and also prophesying, okay? So you see the difference. Very different. And so what I got from this is that it just looks different for each one, depending on what the Lord has called them to do. And so if you're thinking of doing this, you have to ask yourself these questions, like, what is it going to look like for you? So let's talk about the word prophet. The Hebrew word is nabi. This is Strong's 5030. Okay, and it says the term Nabi refers to a prophet, a chosen individual by God to deliver his messages to the people. Prophets in the Hebrew Bible served as God's spokespersons, conveying divine will, guidance, warnings, and future events. They played a crucial role in maintaining the covenant relationship between God and Israel, often calling the people back to faithfulness and obedience. In ancient Israel, prophets were integral to the religious and social fabric. They were often called during times of crisis or moral decline to remind the people of God's laws and promises. Prophets like Moses, Samuel, Elijah, and Isaiah were pivotal figures who shaped the spiritual and political landscape of Israel. Their messages were not only predictive but also instructive, focusing on justice, repentance, and the coming of the Messiah. So, they each had a specific role. Now, there are people in the Bible that some of us might not even think this person is a prophet. Abraham is a prophet, right? Moses is a prophet. Absolutely. John, not John the Baptist, but John the Revelator, the disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, he is a prophet because he wrote the book of Revelation. That whole thing is prophetic and it's future events. So this is what I mean when I say a lot of people in the Bible that we don't consider as prophets. If I say to you, John, the first thing you're going to think of is he's a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not going to think the prophet John, right? But that's exactly what he was. So then there are other prophets mentioned in the Bible that you don't really even see that they prophesied anything. You just heard that they're prophets. So like if you go to Acts chapter 21, verse 8 through 14, there's a little line there about Philip's daughters. And then it goes into another prophet named Agabus, okay? Which, again, it's not like a famous one that we've heard of. There are so many in the Bible just like him. So let's read Acts 21, verse 8 through 14. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Well, isn't that interesting? Did we ever hear what they prophesied? No. We just know that they did. Verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied it his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." And quite frankly, he did actually get arrested in Jerusalem. Okay, but the point here is that Agabus, we see this one prophecy that he gave here, was called a prophet, and you never hear about him again. So this is why I'm saying when it says there are 88 prophets, there are many there, all over the Bible scattered, that we don't really talk about that much or even hear one prophecy that they spoke, okay? So it's not just the ones that you think as the famous prophets that are. Okay, so I want to say to you that generally, how the prophecy comes is generally in two forms, okay? So you have what you call the prophet who is the Nabi prophet, which is the one who heralds. You're hearing a message and you're speaking forth a message, right? And then I told you that you have the watchman, which is a different type of a prophet, because the watchman can sometimes speak a message, but the majority of their time is prayer. They're going to be interceding for what they're seeing before they would even say a word. Unless the Lord says, say it, they're not going to say it, right? Yes. Then you have what you call the seer, which is Chaza or Choze, okay? This is the person who is the visionary. So they'll have visions, they'll have dreams, yeah? And they'll also interpret the dreams, i.e. Daniel, okay? And if you think of Daniel, when he was brought into the palace, he wasn't brought into the palace as a prophet. No, he had other giftings that were being used by the king. And when the king had, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, when he had a dream, that's when we start to see Daniel operating in the gift of interpretation. And then it goes from there to now when he's praying, the angels are coming and he's going into visions to see the angels and receive the message. And then his messages were primarily written, as you know, because they were of future events to come. So that is interesting that you have different ways in which you're going to get the message. Right at the very beginning of when I started to talk about how does God speak to us, I said this, that it's not just one way, there are several ways. And the better able you are to steward the one way that you have, God will begin to grow that in you. Now, please know that not because you're a dreamer means that you're a prophetic dreamer. Your dreams could just have to do with you and nothing else, as well as your dreams could be prophetic. And the only way for you to actually know that is to interpret your dreams. Learn how to interpret your dreams, right? Especially if you get a lot of dreams. Because the minute you take up the responsibility of figuring out what they mean, now God can trust you with a message, because he knows that you're not just going to get it and be like, oh, another dream. But you're actually going to seek out the meaning, right? So that your prophecies might come through your prophetic dreams. I'll do a class on dreams and visions at some point down the road here to help you more with that, okay? But it's just so important because it's a big part of the prophetic gifting that if you do have dreams, that you learn how to interpret your dreams, right? Because the same interpretation language that is used in dreams, you use them in visions too. So once you start learning how to interpret your dreams, then you're going to start to have visions. Open vision, which is with your eyes open, it'll just open before you and you'll see something. Or closed vision, which is your eyes are closed, but you're not actually sleeping, and you'll go into a vision of something. But sometimes they're not literal. Sometimes they're symbolic, and so you have to understand the language. You have to know what they mean in order to properly interpret them and then share the message, okay? All right, now I want you to think about someone like a David, okay? Talking about like the purpose of the gifting, because now every single one of these prophets, they had a mandate from God, okay? You don't just have the gift of prophecy to just prophesy nilly-willy. No, within it, there is a role. Within it, there is a specific thing you are called to do, okay? For example, just to give you an example of some of the things. So, if we go back to like Isaiah, he did prophecies on the coming of the Messiah, okay, and God's holiness. Then you have Jeremiah that warned Judah about their exile and actually prophesied to them during that period as well. Ezekiel also warned of the same thing. He saw the vision of the four living creatures, as I said before. Okay, Daniel, he was interpreting dreams about future events to come. Hosea, his life was one of symbolism. Okay, his whole life, his marriage was a metaphor of a prophetic word. So another part of receiving a message can come through your life. Your actual life is a symbolism of the word that you're to prophesy, right? Joel, he talked about the coming of the Lord, and his mandate was repentance. Amos, he was talking about social justice issues. Okay, Obadiah prophesied about Edom's downfall. Okay, Jonah, we know he was just sent to Nineveh to prophesy repentance. Okay, Micah, to warn of judgment. Okay, he also spoke prophetically about where our Messiah Jesus would be born. Okay, Nahum also told of Nineveh's destruction. The point here is, I don't have to go through all of these, I'm going to put these in the study guide for you. They had a purpose. It wasn't just a nilly-willy thing. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. And I'm trying to tell you that that same thing exists today. Okay? You have prophets who have anointings on different things in different areas. And it would behoove you to figure out who has the anointing for what. This way, you listen to that person when it comes to that thing. What I'm talking about is this. Not every prophet is a governmental prophet. No. Some people prophesy about the government because that's their mandate. Government. So if you want to know about the government, that's the person you listen to. Some people can prophesy about the economy. That's what they're called to. Others are the church. Others is a repentance message you're going to get all the time. Others, they're prophets to the nation. They can fly all over the world and prophesy in different nations. And it's going to happen as they say, because that's their calling. This is the role they were called to. And that's the mandate that is on their life as a prophet. What you don't want to do is listen to the prophet that has been called to the nation who's now prophesying about the government. Because there's a possibility they're out of their realm. They should not have been talking about that to begin with. That wasn't their mandate. People do this all the time. They tip their toes into areas where it's like, that's not what you're called to do. Doesn't mean you don't have an opinion, but that is something I think you keep with your friends and have your chat with your friends. But if you're not called to that by the Lord, stay away from it. Okay, because you don't have what it is to carry on the conversation and see it through to the end. Okay, so I'm just saying, each one of these people had a mandate. So when they come to prophesy on that, it is because that's where the Lord has gifted them. Their anointing is in that area. Okay, so you're going to start to see, if you watch the prophets, you watch where they're targeted in on, what they focus on, where they always are. That is what they're called to. And so, if you want to know about that subject, that's probably the person you want to listen to. If you're interested in hearing something else, you might go to another prophet and listen to them on that subject, because they might have a track record in that area. Just saying. Think about this. Okay, now, some prophets in the Bible were called to be prophets to the king. You think about somebody like Nathan, okay? Nathan the prophet was David's prophet. Yeah, that when he shows up in the Bible, it was always to bring a message to David. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. David could hear God for himself. Yeah. David could hear God for himself, but there were moments when he needed the prophet to step in and say, hey. And I've noticed some of those times was when he was walking in sin. And as you know, sin separates you from God. Yes, it does. I believe it's Psalm 66, 18 through 20. You build up a wall when there is sin. And so even the greatest of prophets who hear God all the time, if you have a lot of sin in your life, somebody might have to come in and say, hey, look, this is what's going on. Okay? So he gave instructions on the building of the temple to David. He also, you know, David was like, should I build the temple? And he said, yes, the temple is going to be built. And then the Lord said to Nathan, no. It's his son that's going to build it. You need to go back and tell him, leave that for Solomon. Okay, he didn't know it was Solomon yet, but I'm just saying, he was told, step back from that. And David was very humble, even though he could hear from God himself, to listen. When Nathan came and said, no, not this. When he fell into sin with Bathsheba and didn't basically hear God for an entire year, it was Nathan that had to go to him and say, hey, look, you have not repented for this yet, and God has consequences for this. And he humbled himself, repented, and that's it. I mean, again, when Adonijah was trying to usurp Solomon to get onto the throne, it was Nathan that went and said, hey, look, this is what's about to happen. And that got resolved, okay? But I want you to know, so his work as a prophet was to be a prophet to the king. Daniel, in a sense, once he got into the palace, he was a prophet to the king. Yes. So some are called into that capacity to advise that person. Okay? Now, it's not like what I see happening in the prophetic right now is a very strange dynamic, which I will talk about in later times. God is not going to give you a prophet to take his place. You don't have a prophet come in to tell you A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, every day, 24/7, every day, all day long, I'm going to tell you this and this and this and this and this. If you have the time to be spending all of those hours to go get your word, something is wrong with your relationship with the Lord. When you need to hear from God, if your first thing isn't, let me go spend time alone with God to hear from God, but it is, let me go hear what this person is saying, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. Because then you've placed that person in the position of God. And that is not how it's supposed to be. You do not see anywhere in the Bible where any of these people had a prophet at their beck and call telling them 24/7, you need to do this and you need to do that. No, they have a relationship with God. They can get the word for themselves. Then the prophet comes alongside and helps at different points and confirms certain things if you need courage to move forward. But they are not to replace the Lord. If you look at David in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7 through 9, it says, then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. I'm going to show you a picture of an ephod. This is what is it's the priest's breastplate. And this is what they used to use back in those days to hear God, communicate with God. So when he is asking for the ephod, this was him consulting God himself, David, right? So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. That's David consulting the Lord. He was constantly doing that. But that didn't stop him from having a prophet. No, it didn't stop him from having a prophet going to him and saying, "Hey, David, this, hey, David, that." I will go further and tell you that there were more. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 5, we will see it says, "But the prophet Gad said to David, 'Do not stay in this stronghold, go into the land of Judah.' So David left and went to the forest of Hereth." This is when he was hiding in the cave at Adullam. Gad, who is a seer, went to him and said, "Don't do that, do this instead." Okay? So, there is Gad. Who else did he have? He had another one. He had Gad, he had Nathan, and there was another one. I want to say Asaph was another seer that used to consult David. David can hear God for himself, but he still had people coming to him at different points to tell him things. He didn't need to consult them daily. He had his own relationship. But in moments, they went to him. Prophets can have prophets that go to them and tell them things. Okay? You don't know everything just because you're a prophet. No. No, you don't. Believe me, you don't. And sometimes we do need someone to come alongside and say, "Hey, XYZ." Okay, so I think I am going to, well, let's give you this one last thing. Another part of the role of the prophet, praise the Lord, and we saw this with Ezekiel as well, is that prophets are often given the blueprint for the restoration. They are given the blueprint for the rebuilding. Hello, somebody. The prophets have the information. You understand. Okay, so now 2 Chronicles 29, it said, this is Hezekiah. He stationed 29 verse 25 and 30. I'm going to read 25. He stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres in the way prescribed by David. This is when David passed on. He left instructions of how things should have been done. And Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. This was commanded by the Lord through his prophets. So Gad left instructions, Nathan left instructions, two prophets, and David, who actually was a prophet too. If you look at some of the stuff he did and what he said, very prophetic. They left the instructions and said, "This is how you built it. Build it." And he followed said instructions. Verse 30. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed down and worshiped. Asaph must have seen something in a vision and said, "This is how it needs to be done." And so he takes the instructions, puts it together, and voila, now it's complete. So, I'm going to stop there for today. This is just the overview to dip your toe in the water to see that there are different types, different callings, different roles over different areas. And think about yourself. What are you, if you have the gift of prophecy and you believe that you are being called to be a prophet, where are your words pointed at? Because generally the Lord will point in the direction, right? You don't have to go looking for a, "Oh, I want to know about this." No. Based on where he's calling you to, he's going to just freely give you the information in that area. You won't have to go looking for it. He will be like, "Here you go. Talk about this." And you're going to see that all of them line up in one direction, one general vicinity. And that's how you're going to know this is really what he's calling me to prophesy about. And you just stay the course. And I'm not saying that it can't change at some point. It could. But if you just honor that, what the Lord is saying and where he's sending you, you're going to realize that it can't go wrong. It cannot go wrong. Okay? All right, that's it. Next week, maybe I'll talk about if you're going to get into prophecy and using your gift of prophecy, how to get going and how to start with this. I'll probably do that. Okay. Let me pray. Lord, you are good, you're awesome, you're wonderful. I thank you for the various ways in which you've used men and women of God in the Bible for our benefit, and even today. I pray that you will begin to, those who have the gift of prophecy that you're calling into being prophets today, that you would speak to them over the course of this week and just help them to see themselves as you see them and give them clear instruction as to where you're calling them to use this gifting and what forum, what does this look like for them. And I pray that boldness would come over them, that the equipping will be there, and they will be confident in you, Lord. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, you have an amazing week. Bye. Thank you.